The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric has a really, really horrific rash on his face today.
It's so bad, if you saw him, you'd cringe in terror and run away shrieking for your mommy.
But thanks to the magic of radio, you can't see him at all.
Isn't technology amazing?
And now, pizza face himself,
Eric Metaxas.
First of all, that is not in keeping with the tone we like to preserve.
That's kind of cruel. Yeah.
On this show. Because I have a lot of close friends that have really struggled with acne. So, Todd.
Yes.
Please. And first of all, he obviously didn't get the memo. Even though it's a radio show, we are videotaping and airing a lot of this stuff.
Yes,
why do
are.
You think I put on a tie, Todd?
Yeah, Todd.
Hey, wake up,
yeah,
punk.
Todd.
Today is not Monday, but it feels like a Monday.
It does.
Albin, it is Tuesday.
It is.
But yesterday was Martin Luther King Day.
It was.
A lot of people had the day off, obviously, most people. And I spent the day writing my book.
Okay.
Or trying to finish to writing
so
my book.
You were working, yes.
I was working. But before that, I have been, I mean, first of all, in a couple seconds, we're going to have the great Dick Morris on the program to talk about current events.
Okay.
So I don't want to talk about Covington High School. I don't want to talk about Trump. I don't want to talk about anything like that now because probably Dick Morris will have views.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
And in hour two today, we're going to talk drama.
Drama.
A Man for All Seasons is being put on here in New York. One of the great plays ever written.
Yes.
Some people have seen the movie. And our friend Max McLean.
Oh, we love Max McLean.
Whom we know from the Tim Keller Redeemer Presbyterian Church days. Max McLean is now putting on theater all over the universe, and he is putting that on in New York. So we're going to have him on to talk drama and theater.
Theater.
I actually have met people who say theater. Isn't that an old Abbott and Costello thing? And he says they're trying to be upper class, right? And when you're upper class, you say mater and pater. So use it in a sentence. And he says, where are your mater and pater? And he says, oh, they're at the theater with my braider and seder. You know, it's like one of those stupid jokes. I never would repeat that on the air. Okay,
no,
Albin.
Do not.
I got to say, though, before we get to our big guests here, I've had the busiest few days. And I want to share it with the group.
Please share.
Okay. People aren't going to believe some of the stuff that I say right now. Okay. First of all, Thursday night, I was in Washington, D.C. I was speaking. The March for Life was on Friday, one of the great events in America. Proud to be an American because we have that. The March for Life was on Friday. So there are all these events around it. And there was a ball, the Stork Ball, one of my favorite organizations, Save the Storks.
Yeah.
Joe Baker is the head of that. Save the Storks had a glorious event, black tie ball, and Suzanne and I were there. And it was just loaded with, you know, interesting people. And Diamond and Silk were there.
Oh, I love them.
Diamond and Silk were there. And I finally learned which one is Diamond and which one is Silk.
Okay.
But I'm not going to tell you.
Please
and
don't.
Then our friend Sebastian Gorka was there. It really was an extraordinary thing. Allie Stuckey. I finally got to meet cute Allie Stuckey, and her mother is just as cute. She has the most wonderful mom, and Allie is expecting in June.
Yes.
And it was just great to meet her, obviously. She's terrific. So it was just fun to meet all these people. But the most interesting thing – oh, and I was on the Shannon Bream show night.
I saw that.
And actually, and then and then the next day at the Stork Ball, I was one of the speakers. And before I went up to speak, they said, we have a surprise guest, Eric. And since you know him, we want you to introduce him. But he's a surprise guest, so that we want the audience to be surprised. Who's a surprise guest?
Yes.
Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen Pence, who had just been in the news because she's been attacked for teaching in a Christian school.
What?
Yeah, these are the times in which we live.
Come on.
So anyway, so I went up there and I said, we've got a surprise guest. I tried to downplay it. I said, you know, some of you will know who this is. And I said, and I always have trouble pronouncing their names. I hope I get this right. I said, it's Vice President Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence, please come to the stage. And so it was like, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And of course, I love them. They're the real deal. They're terrific. Yeah. So that was huge. And then the next day, or was it that day, I was on the Ben Dominic podcast. He heads up The Federalist, which is a great news organization.
Yeah,
he had me on his podcast, and we got to talk about the Milo controversy, and we got to talk about Jerome Corsi and all the crazy stuff that we do here.
He's coming back too.
And I always try to explain things to people, but you know, people aren't, they don't have time to listen to me all the time, so they don't really understand why did you have somebody like Milo on. So I try to explain part of that. And anyway, all kinds of crazy stuff. But then we flew to Dallas. And in Dallas, some people remember Stephen Meyer. I had him on Socrates in the City. He's one of the founders of the intelligent design movement. Straight up freaky genius scientist who also can speak English. It's funny because sometimes people are so smart they can't express themselves.
Right.
But he is wonderful. So I interviewed him for another Socrates in the City event in Dallas about his new book, which is coming out in a couple of months. Talk about exciting. It's called The Return of the God Hypothesis. Oh, my goodness. We will air that interview on this program at some point, as soon as I can get that. Spectacular. The audience was 1,000 people.
Oh, man. That's pretty good.
1,000 people.
That's very good. That's like four times the usual, right? Four or five times the usual Socrates crowd.
But the most exciting part, if I can say so, some people know Dr. James Tour. He is also one of the most brilliant scientists. The whole thing was put on by the Discovery Institute in Dallas, right? They're in Seattle, but they have a chapter in Dallas. Dr. James Tour was there. Now, we've had him on the show before.
Yes, we have.
He's one of the top scientists in the world. He's definitely the leading nanochemist on planet Earth. He's a freaky genius, right?
Okay.
Anyway, we had a little dinner before the event. And, of course, I'm making fun of him when I had my remarks. I'm kind of cracking jokes at his expense. And when it's over, that's my love language. When it's over, he comes up to me and says, Eric, your collar's a little messed up. So he goes, my wife was there. She didn't do this. Dr. James Tour, the world's leading nanochemist, comes up to me, says, your collar's a little messed up. He says, you don't have your collar stays in.
Oh, really?
And I'm thinking, you're right, but it's a little late. I'm going to go up on the stage in like 10 minutes. What can I do about that? He reaches, I don't know if it was in his wallet or if it was in his briefcase. He pulls out two brand new collar stays. This is not a joke.
This is unbelievable.
This is like, he pulls out two brand new collar stays and he installs them in my collar.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, science works.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I experienced it. What he put them in, they held the collar, and it's on videotape. You can see it for yourself. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is like when they proved, you know, that a black hole can bend light. This is just like that.
Wow.
It's like you actually do the experiment. It works. Okay, so I had to talk about that.
Okay.
And then there was the Dallas March for Life. Dallas had its own March for Life on Saturday. I spoke at that, which was terrific. I got to see the Bishop of Dallas again. He's a wonderful man, Bishop Byrne. So all kinds of crazy stuff. And then we had to fly to Houston.
Okay.
And I spoke in First Baptist Church in Houston. So I've been very busy. I preached there. Oh, and remember we had on this program the young woman who was abandoned as a baby in China?
Yes.
Her name is Fei-Fei.
Yes.
I'm in the book line. This is what always happens. Like, you never know. I'm in the book line. I look up. There's Fei-Fei and her dad, whom I know.
Ah.
Okay. Her dad's named Frank. He grew up in Holland. And I know him because he works with Paul Balazs, the singer.
Yes.
So the whole thing was so crazy to meet these people and to have all this fun.
Oh, man.
But now I'm back in New York City, and I could see you with my own eyes.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes. I can't believe that you got those stays in there. You know, that's something you didn't see in the Gillette ad. One bro giving another bro stays for his collar.
Isn't that incredible?
That's what men do.
Talk about toxic.
Oh,
I'm telling you, he was cursing. He was whittling.
Oh.
He was just doing all that man stuff.
Oh.
And then
was he barbecuing too?
He put the stays in.
Okay.
Yeah, he was barbecuing an animal that he had strangled with his bare hands. Yeah, that's the kind of a man James Tour is. All right, well, that's enough foolishness. When we come back, we're going to get serious with Mr. Dick Morris. He has a new book out called 50 Shades of Politics. That's in a couple of seconds. He is stunning, so I'm looking forward to that. Stick around. In an hour or two, we're talking theater.
Theater.
Thank you. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
If you could just talk to someone, it would make all the difference in the world. I mean, really open up and lay it out there. You would be amazed at how much progress you could make by talking to someone with your same Christian values, someone with wisdom and insight. I know you think there's no one you can really open up to, but there is Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who will help you through your issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to TryFaithfulCounseling.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Sleep is essential for good health. So if your New Year's resolution has to do with being healthy, which it probably does, start with improving your sleep. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. We make the world's softest and most comfortable sheets that have tons of five-star reviews and are loved by three U.S. presidents. But I'm not just here to tell you that our sheets are soft and comfortable. I'm here to tell you why they're soft and comfortable. That's because they're made with pure, 100% organic cotton. We use the highest quality cotton to ensure that you get a good night's sleep and that you feel good about your good night's sleep. No harmful chemicals. If your New Year's resolution is to wake up on the right side of the bed every morning, start with a better bed. Boll & Branch has you covered. Head to BollandBranch.com right now to get $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping when you use promo code CALM. That's BOLL and Branch.com. Promo code CALM to get $50 off. BowlinBranch.com, promo code CALM.
Sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. You know that on Tuesdays we try to do a little segment that I call Tuesdays with Morris, not to be confused with Tuesdays with Maury. Tuesdays with Morris is when we get to talk to the brilliant political mind known as Dick Morris. And the title, Tuesdays with Morris, is just one example of how clever he can be. That was his idea, not my idea. Dick Morris, welcome to the program.
Good, but nobody's dying.
No, well, I got to tell you,
with Maury, he dies.
I got it. Nobody's dying. No, not yet. At least if we continue at this level of entertainment, we will be dying. Okay, here's the issue. You have a book out called 50 Shades of Politics. It's available everywhere, and it's loaded with interesting stories. I want to get to a couple of those.
It's not, Eric.
Pardon me?
It's not available everywhere. It's only available online from Amazon.
But isn't that effectively everywhere?
It's not in bookstores.
It's not in bookstores.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that they had bookstores anymore. I thought that they were all...
They have them.
I've never seen one.
You have to go to Amazon.
I've never seen a bookstore on the internet, and that's where I live now. I have to ask you some serious questions. I want to talk to you about some of the stuff that's in the book. Again, the book is called 50 Shades of Politics, but you have some amazing stories in the book. I want to talk to you about them. But before we get to those, just want to get your take on where we are in the country at this point, because it has been so bizarre to watch the day in and day out, back and forth, between Pelosi, Schumer, and the president. Where do you think we are with all of that, since you're a political consultant whose mind I value?
I think they're both, it's crazy what they're doing, and the way that they absolutely cannot function together. I mean, this is gridlock on steroids.
Isn't it?
But I believe that what Trump should do is to say, look, I want $5 billion, you want $1.6 billion. So it doesn't take a genius to suggest $3.3 billion. And I'll build 400 miles of wall instead of 600 miles of wall. And I'll go back and get the other couple hundred next year. And by the time I finish 8 years in office, that wall is going to be completely built over the entire 1,700-mile border. But and I can't do it in a day, and I'm not going to insist on it. And I think that he can score a tremendous point against the Democrats by being reasonable on this.
You don't think he's been reasonable by offering amnesty through DACA? I mean, that's a gigantic concession for somebody who has been as aggressive on immigration as he is.
Yeah, the thing is that this is the Democrats' worst nightmare, the amnesty on DACA.
Why?
Because the Democratic Party, all these folks that want to come to the United States, do not want to come here to vote. They want to come here to work. And they're perfectly happy to come here to be allowed to work. And they could care less about voting. But the Democrats want them to vote. The Democrats, in fact, many often don't want them to work because they compete with unions for jobs. So by offering the ability to stay here and work but not a path to citizenship, you're splitting the Democratic position down its most vulnerable fissure, which is the whole Democratic focus is let them stay here and vote. But the immigrants themselves don't care about voting. They care about working.
Well,
so by offering working without voting, he's really, it's the worst nightmare the Democrats could have.
I guess I wasn't clear on that, and I shouldn't be surprised I'm not clear on it because I'm not following this as closely as you, but I think I would have heard something. I ought to have heard something like what you just said in the conservative media, and I have not. You are the first. I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but
Dick,
the media doesn't want to cover it, Eric, because this is the dirty secret of the Democratic Party.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the conservative media. The conservative media has not said, nobody other than you now on this program has said anything like what you just said. At least I haven't heard it. In other words, the idea of the nuances of DACA, all I've heard from people like Ann Coulter is that this is amnesty and it's bad. You're saying it is a nightmare for the Democrats. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It is, and it's why they can't possibly accept that. I mean, if you could give everybody who wants to come here the ability to stay and work but not vote, Republicans wouldn't be that upset.
But I thought it was a path to citizenship, Dick. I thought DACA.
No, absolutely not. What he's proposing is that they come here and be allowed that they're here. They've been allowed to stay for 3 years without threat of deportation, having their work papers and their green cards.
But what do we think is going to happen at the end of those 3 years? I mean, Ann Coulter has flat out called it amnesty. So how is she wrong on this?
Most likely. Well, it's amnesty in the sense that they're allowed to stay, but it's not amnesty in the sense that they're allowed to become citizens.
I guess then my question is, why would she be against it?
Well, she's probably against their staying in the first place, but the point is for Republicans, is that we want to stop them from voting because they can vote Democrat, and overwhelmingly that's what the Democrats want. Working is not particularly the Democrats like to pretend that they want them to be able to stay and work. But in fact, they want them to be able to stay and vote. The people who are struggling to come into the United States are not demanding to come in because they're desperate to vote. They want to come in because they're desperate to work.
So you're saying that what DACA does is it gives them the ability to come in, be identified, not to be invisible illegals. So what do you think, how is it that the Democrats think, or what would the Democrats want secretly to be happening so that these folks can vote? In other words, under what plan would these people be able to come in and vote for the Democrats?
Well, a path to citizenship. You have two completely different things. Can you, working, green cards, ability to stay and not be deported is one thing. The ability to become a citizen and a voter, that's something entirely different. And I believe that what the solution that Trump should propose for DACA, which is pretty much what he's just done, is that you can stay, you can work, you're not going to be deported. If you want to become citizens, go home to your native country, wait online, or figuratively wait online, be on the list. And when the legal quota permits you to come in, then we can make you citizens and voters.
Okay.
And that's, in effect, what Trump is proposing. And I don't particularly care if the DACA people are thrown out of the country. There's no evidence that they're a criminal class or anything like that. There's no real need to deport them. We're not going to deport them anyway. There are so many others that we'd rather deport. And the important thing here is that they not flood the electorate with 800,000 Democratic votes.
Well, so let me ask again, just so I have clarity, and I'm not asking you to read the mind of Ann Coulter, but as soon as the president put out his proposal on whatever day that was, Saturday or Friday, I can't remember, but it was so, she immediately came out, said it was amnesty, and was clearly upset about it, saying he's giving away the farm. You're saying that's not the case. Why do you think she thinks that's the case?
Well, it's a knee-jerk opposition to letting them stay here. It is amnesty in the sense that they technically broke the law when their parents brought them here, and they will not be held accountable for that. done.
I thought they would be held accountable in 3 years. In other words, the idea was that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Or is she suggesting that, of course, that's not going to happen, that we're going to kick the can down the road and they're never going to leave and there's never any possibility they're going to leave? So it's effectively lifelong
amnesty. I think she's right.
But
I think that's right.
But you're saying they wouldn't vote anyway.
I don't see
anyway.
A problem with that.
You don't see a problem with that.
I don't see a problem with that, as long as they don't become citizens. The difference between being a renter and an owner.
But their kids would become citizens? I see how complicated this is. We're going to go to a break here.
Well, we have birthright citizenship anyway, yeah.
Right, so it's kind of a problem. All right, well, I have some clarity on it. At least I have more information. Folks, we're talking to the great Dick Morris. He has a book out available only on Amazon. I realize that's the case. The good news for those of you who want to copy the book is that the Internet is practically everywhere. 50 Shades of Politics. We'll be right back with Dick Morris.
However, the White House has just announced that it is moving forward on plans, including the possibility of President Trump holding the address outside of Washington. President Trump's proposal to break through the budget deadlock headed to the Senate, another missed paycheck, is looming for hundreds of thousands of workers as the shutdown reaches day 32. The Senate expected to vote on the president's immigration proposal later in the week. The Trump administration moving ahead with its plan to restrict military service by transgender men and women while court challenges continue. And that can happen, so says the Supreme Court. The High Court today reversed lower court orders preventing the Pentagon from implementing its plan while cases continue. On Wall Street, the Dow down 408. For more details, visit SRNnews.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990 or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or METAXAS or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code ERIC or METAXAS or call 800-978-3057. Do it now.
We used to laugh. We used to cry. We used to bow our heads then. Wonder why.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. It's Tuesday, and that means Tuesdays with Morris. That's Mr. Dick Morris, the political consultant. Most of you know who he is. If you don't, I'm glad you're getting to know him on this program. He has a new book out called 50 Shades of Politics. It's available on Amazon, loaded with stories of his rather amazing life. Dick Morris, welcome to the program. I'm happy to talk to you about anything. I've got some questions about some of the stories in your book.
Yeah, so why don't you tell me, but ask me about the stories.
There are a couple that are
they're a series of short stories.
Yeah, they're very short, but they're tantalizing.
And
I thought we can tease the book by touching on some of them because they're so tantalizing. You have a long career in politics, and most people know you because you were for a long time working with Bill Clinton. In the book, you talk about your very first meeting with Bill Clinton, and I wanted to ask you about that.
Yep. Well, I was 30, and he was 30. He's 31. And I flew down to Arkansas. I made up some excuse. I said I had to be in Little Rock anyway, so he would see me. And I went in for a 15-minute meeting with him, and it lasted 3 hours.
Now, where was he at that point, at age 30?
He was the Attorney General of Arkansas.
And why did you want to meet with him at that time?
He was debating whether to run for governor or for senator. Both jobs were open in Arkansas at that point.
So were you looking to him as a client at that time?
Yeah, right. I was pitching him to hire me. But basically, I was explaining to him how politics is rational if you use polling. There was a technique that I had worked on in Hollywood before this, where studios would hire my firm to poll movies. Like Jaws 2 or Rocky 2 or the new James Bond movies. Where should they be filmed? What stars should be in it? What gadgets do you want to see in the James Bond movie? And all kinds of stuff like that would really help determine the pitch of the movie, the sales pitch, and also, in some cases, actually, the content of the movie.
And you had been doing that polling for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind my asking, because we all know you as a political consultant, how did you end up doing polling for Hollywood? How did that start?
Well, it came about my partner was involved with Lou Harris, and Harris was doing the polling.
Of the Harris polls.
I was working on
it. Got it.
Lou Harris, yeah. And that's how we got it. But I thought that this could be applied to politics. So I told Clinton that what we needed to do was to run the campaign in the poll, put our attack, our position, our ads, their ads, our attacks on them, their attacks on us, and see how we in the opposition would play in an actual campaign, kind of run the campaign before the voters. That's fairly standard now, but this was brand new.
Okay, so this was an idea you had based on the kind of polling that had happened in Hollywood. So this was a new idea that you were pitching him on.
And it was he loved it, and it was just entrancing for him. And suddenly politics that was kind of mystical and inscrutable became rational and open and logical, and he could see how to handle it, what to do. And this framework dominated our relationship for 20 years. This was how you ran. This is how we decided on what goes into the State of the Union when he was president, what budget proposals, what issue positions he takes. We play them out in polling and then attack them in the poll and see how they stood up. And it was just fascinating to him.
Well, you,
but at the end of the meeting, Eric, I had to go to the bathroom. So he showed me to his bathroom, which was in the Attorney General's office,
right,
which looked like a finished basement. It needed a ping pong table, and that was about it. It had phony wood paneling, and it was really nothing.
And in fact, this was in the 70s, was it not?
1978, yeah. And 77, actually. And when I went to the bathroom, I closed the door, and there on the inside of the door was a floor-to-ceiling pinup of a blonde spilling out of a tiny and inadequate white bikini. So when I got out, I said, "Do you think that's okay to have in the governor's mansion here? This is the Bible Belt." He said, "Don't you know who that is?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't." And he said, "That's Dolly Parton." And I said, "Who?" And he said, "Oh, man, you really are from New York."
Wow. Wow, that is telling on so many levels. It's unfortunate to think that Dolly Parton would prostitute herself by making something like that available. It's of course, unfortunately, not surprising.
Well, Dolly's the author of that wonderful line, "Do you know how much it costs to look this cheap?"
Are you kidding me? I have never heard that. She didn't say that. Somebody made that up.
Yeah.
That's apocryphal.
No,
you're kidding.
No, it's not.
Do you know how much money it costs to look this cheap? That is brilliant. I hope I remember that. That's one of those lines that is so brilliant. And that's so telling when you think of Bill Clinton. My goodness, my goodness. Okay, folks, we're talking to Dick Morris. The new book available on Amazon only. It's called 50 Shades of Politics, loaded with so many stories like this. You won't believe it, actually. Lots and lots. We'll be right back with Dick Morris. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out. I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pains. I said, trust me, the Quick Start Pack, $19.95, you get more than 3 weeks worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
From Sky Pass Entertainment comes The Least of These, the Graham Stain story. When speculation mounts that a local missionary is converting locals to Christianity in India, a journalist must choose between his own ambition and the truth.
We can't make any mistakes.
I know. We must pray.
Based on the incredible true story, The Least of These, the Graham Stain story, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 1st with a special sneak peek Thursday, January 31st. For theaters and tickets, go to theleastofthese.movie.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Healthy woman goes into a clinic, comes out dead, and there's no police report?
Hi, Michelle Malkin here. Dean Cain and the entire cast of the Gosnell movie do a superb job bringing this true story to the big screen. You might be worried that this movie is too scary. As a mother of two, I promise you, it's not. You do not want to pass up this unique opportunity to change hearts and minds about abortion.
Kermit Gosnell is perhaps the most prolific serial killer in American history.
Don't miss out.
Gosnell, rated PG-13. Available now on Video On Demand.
When it comes to your identity and the personal information on your devices, there's no soundtrack to let you know you're in danger. Today's digital world is so connected, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing LifeLock now adds the power of Norton Security. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect threats like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and Norton Security helps protect up to 5 devices from ransomware and other online threats. Plus, if you have a problem, our agents will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But with LifeLock, we can help alert you to danger. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com now and use promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART to save 10%. LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. get back home. Sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Hey, folks, it's Eric Taxas Show. It's Tuesday, and the good news is that means Tuesdays with Morris, Mr. Dick Morris. He has a new book out called 50 Shades of Politics, available on Amazon, loaded with fascinating nuggets from his life as a political consultant. Dick, I've got to ask.
Eric, let me tell him about the time Bill Clinton brought me home to meet his mama.
would you do that? Go ahead.
Yep, it was later that year, 1978, and he was running for governor. And I figured that people were suspicious of him because he'd been to Yale and Georgetown, and they weren't used to that in Arkansas.
Right.
And they wanted to know that he was really Arkansan, that he wouldn't forget them, and that came from them. So I said, let's do a biographic spot where we film your home, where you grew up, and we film your mother. So Eileen was with me, and we flew out to Hot Springs, Arkansas, where she was living, and we went to the house where he grew up. And she comes out of the house to film the spot in high heels, a mink stole, eyelashes, you know, 2-foot eyelashes.
And carrying a Yale diploma.
Mascara, makeup, and everything. Absolutely dolled up for a nightclub. And Eileen and I were sitting on the curb opposite her house when we saw her come down the steps looking like that. And Eileen whispered to me, oh, no, this won't do. So I went over to Bill and talked to him about it. And he was nice. He understood. And he asked her to come back in the house. And about 20 minutes later, she came out dressed like an Arkansas woman and was, you know, not a slob, but not dressed up for a nightclub. And we filmed the ad.
Did she have a mouthful of hominy grits?
Pretty much. And when she died, I wrote Bill a nice note of condolence. And I recalled this episode. He wrote back, after that, she dressed as she pleased.
I have to say, it is fascinating to hear all these stories, Dick, because many of us, you know, when somebody becomes president of the United States, you forget how long it took for them to get there. In his case, it didn't take so long, but just the idea that he had this path and you were with him on the path. Now, you understand a lot of people who listen to this program are pretty serious about their Christian faith. So they are now struggling to forgive you for giving the world Bill Clinton. But I think that they will win that struggle. Some won't.
That's okay.
But it is kind of funny to think that your billion-dollar mind was being put to use to try to make him more presentable. And, of course, many of us know the story that at some point you effectively fell out with the Clintons. I guess I want to ask you, you know, it's one thing to hear about this good old boy, Bill Clinton, and in so many ways he was a centrist. He was willing to take your advice to triangulate. It strikes most people who know a little bit about politics that Hillary was not along for that ride in particular, that she was much more of a Saul Alinskyite. When did you or did you encounter that with her, that she was somehow opposed to some of these things?
Hillary in Arkansas was Hillary is whatever she has to be. She has no core. She has no ideology. She has no set of deep-seated beliefs. She is what she has to be. In Arkansas, after he lost the governorship, he was elected, and then 2 years later was defeated. He had fired me, and he lost, and they hired me to get him back in, and I did. And she became more conservative than he was. She was proposing, for example, that they test teachers and fire the ones who failed, whereas Bill didn't want to go that far. Well, ultimately, he did, but it was Hillary who kept driving him to the right. And I had no idea that Hillary was a liberal. To me, she was very much like he was, a conservative, moderate Democrat. And but when she went to Washington, there was something in the water, and she absolutely became crazy left, and Saul Alinsky and everything you said about it.
The only thing is that she wrote her when she was in college. I can't remember if it was Holyoke or whichever one of those, Smith. But she brought Alinsky to campus. So in other words, you would think that because of her involvement, you know, being on the Watergate committee and all that kind of stuff, that she was a hard liberal.
At Wellesley, she was a crazy liberal, and in Yale, she was part of the Black Panther defense team. But when she went to Arkansas, she became a conservative. She absolutely adopts the coloration of her environment. She's the ultimate chameleon in that sense.
Wow.
By the way, an interesting story for your listeners who are Christian and devout. I was Jewish and atheist and knew nothing about Christianity and nothing about God. It was something that I discovered when I was 50, and with the help of a great many wonderful people like Mike Huckabee, like Chuck Colson, like Bill Armstrong, Doug Halliday, Oz Guinness. But when I was working with Clinton, we developed this idea that we'll give you opportunity and you have to take responsibility. That instead of just a cash handout, this was a contract. We'll give you welfare benefits, but you have to work for them. We'll give you a scholarship, but you have to work in an underserved area after you graduate. And this kind of transaction. And I called it the new social contract.
Right.
And then Bill said, no, that's too legalistic. We should call it the new covenant. And that became the word that was used to describe that program. And when Clinton was elected, he implemented the new covenant, and that was his whole thing. It was only after I became a Christian that Mike Huckabee told me that people were upset about that.
Yeah.
Because new covenant was what Jesus did with mankind.
Right.
And I didn't know that.
Well,
Bill obviously knew it.
It's the secret language.
I didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, it's kind of like I get upset whenever Sean Hannity says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Laura Ingraham is on. And I think, does he have any idea? Like, so many people are cringing at that because those are Jesus's words. And anyway, we're going to be right back, folks, talking to the great Dick Morris. The new book, 50 Shades of Politics, available on Amazon. 50 Shades of Politics.
Losing business to online companies? Competitors using social media to rob you of sales? Is your current website 5 years behind the times or even one? Contact us at Salem Surround. Digital marketing that surrounds potential customers with your message wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review. We offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase bottom line. Salem Surround takes the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you do what you do best, run your business, while we deliver customers. Is your business taking full advantage of digital communication to reach more people? Are your competitors ahead of you? Now there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com. SalemSurround.com. Connecting you with new customers.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Democrats demand President Trump cancel his State of the Union address during a partial government shutdown. However, the White House has just announced it is moving forward, including the possibility of holding the address outside of Washington. Also, the Trump administration can move forward with its plan to restrict military service by transgender men and women while court challenges continue, so says the Supreme Court today. The death toll from the weekend's winter storm is at least 7 in upstate New York. A 70-year-old man suffered a heart attack while shoveling snow. A 12-year-old girl died in Chicago when a snow fort collapsed. A plow driver in Kansas killed when his plow rolled over on him. This as National Grid is working to repair a pressure gas issue in Newport in Middletown, Rhode Island, that'll leave more than 7,000 customers without gas amid dangerously cold weather. This is SRN News.
SkyPass Entertainment comes The Least of These, the Graham Stain story. When speculation mounts that a local missionary is converting locals to Christianity in India, a journalist must choose between his own ambition and the truth.
We can't make any mistakes.
I know. We must pray.
Based on the incredible true story, The Least of These, the Graham Stain story, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 1st with a special sneak peek Thursday, January 31st. For theaters and tickets, go to theleastofthese.movie.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Talking to Dick Morris. It's Tuesdays with Morris. The new book is 50 Shades of Politics, available only on Amazon. And, Dick, I have to ask you, we don't have to talk about this, but I just wanted to ask if you had any thoughts on this Covington High School controversy. What a bizarre moment in our public life. We don't have to talk about it, but I thought I'd give you an opportunity in case you had any thoughts.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm just not up on that.
Good. I don't. There's certain things that I almost don't want to talk about because they're so unpleasant. I'd rather talk about your experiences with Bill Clinton in the 1970s. Okay. Let me ask you, in the book, you talk about a funny phone call with Vince Foster. Of course, he committed suicide. Very controversial. Can you say something about that?
Yeah. After Foster's suicide, the body was found early in the morning. And that morning, there was chaos at the White House. I wasn't working for Clinton back then, but I was in touch, of course. And for the record, at about 9 o'clock in the morning, Hillary had her people go to Vince's office and clean out all the files there, take everything out, so the cops wouldn't find anything and wouldn't see any of the records that Foster was keeping. But Foster was basically the guy in charge of damage control.
Right.
Over all of the Clinton scandal.
Really?
And that's one of the things I think drove him to suicide. And I do think it was a suicide, but I'm not going to get into that. But in any case, the files were all taken out. And I got a phone call while they were doing that, after they finished that, at about 11 a.m. from Mac McClarty, who is Bill's chief of staff as president, who I had never met. I had never worked with him. I didn't even know him from Arkansas. And it was unusual for him to call me. It was the first time he ever had. And he was talking about some nonsense that wasn't very important. And then he got around to asking me about Foster. And this was before cable news. And my driveway is a long one, and the newspaper was at the other end. And I hadn't driven out to get the paper yet. So I didn't realize that Foster had killed himself. So McClarty asked me about it. What was Foster's state of mind? Had I spoken with him? Did I feel he was depressed? And I said, I just never spoke to the guy. I just really never knew him. I met him in passing in Arkansas.
Right.
Then a few years later, it occurred to me what that phone call was about. He had a memo in his possession, a copy of which I still have, where he had outlined the partnership revenue divisions in the Rose Law Firm. You know, partners divide up revenues
right.
and profits. And Bill Clinton hired the Rose Law Firm, Hillary's firm, to represent the state in a utility litigation. There was a very prominent litigation.
Right. Just 45 seconds. Sorry about that.
Attached.
Go ahead.
Large fees attached. And Vince Foster wrote a memo that showed that Hillary had not taken share from state business, but she had doubled her share of non-state business to compensate for it. And I had that memo, and it's never been released publicly. She said, I'm not taking money from this litigation or representing the state. But that was a total lie. In fact, she doubled her share of the non-state business in the firm, and that memo contained that. And that's one among the documents that were in Foster's office. And I think she would. They were concerned that that would get out.
Right. Wow, there's just so much. We're out of time, but time flies when you're having fun. Dick Morris, thank you for your time. And folks, get a copy of 50 Shades of Politics, loaded with, I have to say, tremendously interesting stuff. It's only available on Amazon. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. In hour two, we're talking about the theater with the great Max McLean. Stick around.
I don't care what they say.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.